to have you with us here, 520 on the Triple S AM 980 The Mission. We've got Raymond Ibrahim with us. You can check him out at RaymondIbrahim.com. That's IBRAHIM.com. Crucified Again, his book Exposing Islam's New War on Christians came out in 2013, and we're really looking forward to his next one, Sword and the Scimitar. Listen, if you haven't got into this conversation and paid any attention, you can go back and listen to it again later. AM980TheMission.com. You could check out the podcast there, and you could take it with you. It's like John does, our board op here. He finishes the show, and once he's done doing the Stephen Solomon show, John actually goes home and listens to old podcasts all day long until the next show. You can be like John, AM980TheMission.com. Raymond, welcome back to another segment, my friend.
Hi, Stephen.
All right, so let's go into some specifics here. I'd really like to chat about maybe some specific stories that we're seeing of Christian persecution. Would that be all right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So from what you've been publishing, because you do a lot of public speaking on this, you're a specialist on Islam, what are some of the more intense, horrific things that you've seen come from Christians being persecuted at the hands of Islam?
Well, I think the important thing to keep in mind is here in the media, you often hear about the most horrific attacks that are terrorist-related. So, for instance, ISIS or whatever, some Taliban-affiliated group, Boko Haram in Somalia, Boko Haram in Nigeria, Al-Shabaab in Somalia, these like professional terrorist groups engage in terrorism of Christians. They bomb churches often, especially when they attack for holidays and Christian worship, Christmas, Easter, for instance, in Nigeria, in Egypt. I mean, hundreds of people have been killed, blown up in churches in Nigeria, in Egypt, in Syria, in Iraq, hundreds in just the last couple of years, just people who are trying to worship freely. Those who do it are generally Islamic terrorists, and you'll get some, you know, reference. Sometimes it's only passing in the evening news about it. But what I think people need to understand is that's just the spectacular tip of the iceberg. When you don't hear much about, or you do hear it, but it's never articulated in the context of this is Islam attacking Christianity. It's just, you know, one Pakistani attacking another Pakistani, something like that. But they are always Islam-motivated, anti-infidel, et cetera. But you get so much stuff, and some of it is just also horrific. In Pakistan, you know, the government will persecute Christians because they've been accused of saying something about Islam, negative, for instance. And if they don't persecute them, then the mob will rise up and kill that Christian, attack the government, and burn a whole Christian village to the ground. And that's happened very many times. But you won't really hear it. They burned a woman and her husband alive just because they were accused of something a couple of years ago. And really, to cap this off, every month I write a report. It's called Muslim Persecution of Christians, and I've been doing it since 2011. So I've got like something like 70 reports. And what I do is I just, you know, it's a little succinct summary of anecdotes of persecution that surface every month. And I remember when I first decided on doing this, I thought to myself, well, Ray, what if a month comes and there's really not a whole lot to report? What are you going to do? Well, in the 4 or 5 years since, I've since found out these reports have only gotten longer and longer. They're about 5,000 words. I try to keep them as short as possible. And you get literally couple of dozen anecdotes every month around the Islamic world of just shameless persecution of Christians by Muslims, any of which, if it was a Christian or a Western person doing to a Muslim, would be 24/7 media news here in the West, but which rarely get the light of day on Western mainstream media. Mm. So that's really the extent of it. And these include habitually just the slaughter and killing of Christians, the abduction and rape of their women, forced conversion and so-called marriage to Muslims, just the mass plundering, and then the legal sort of thing. You know, you go to jail if you say something bad about Muhammad. You go to jail, you get killed if you're an apostate, meaning you're a Muslim who wishes to convert to Christianity. And just the general treatment as a dhimmi, which I referred to before, just kind of like a subhuman treatment, being treated like an animal. You get that all the time. And in fact, I classify my report under these titles. You know, church attack. Every month there's attacks on churches, either a government that just seizes them, bulldozes them down, as in Sudan, or terrorists bomb them, or Muslim mobs just rise up and set them on fire. Every month I have a section called Muslim Attacks on Churches, and you got about 4, 5, 6 anecdotes every month for the last 5, 6 years. So that's the true unspoken story. We just hear about the spectacular story, by terrorists who we are then told have nothing to do with Islam. But the bigger story is that you have an ongoing, maybe less spectacular form of persecution continuously going on, not at the hands of terrorists, but at Muslim governments, Muslim individuals, Muslim police, and Muslim mobs.
You know, I was reading earlier, 2 days ago, in Jakarta, Indonesia. I don't know if you saw this or not, but two Indonesian Christians were publicly whipped because they were caught, quote-unquote, gambling. It was like a kid's game they had. It was considered gambling. And they're not Muslims, but they were being punished in Jakarta, there in Indonesia, under strict Islamic law. So they were whipped 6 times on Tuesday by a robed man wearing a mask in public, and hundreds of people were mocking them as they were whipped in public. So this, to me, is just another example of Christians. You're not going to hear this in the news. It's not going to be everywhere, but it's just another example of Christians suffering under the hands of oppressors.
And the important thing to keep in mind is, you know, you mentioned Indonesia. Now, Indonesia used to be the one Muslim nation that all the apologists would tell you, oh, but look at Indonesia. It's a beacon of moderation and, you know, moderate Islam and wonders. And what you just said happens there. In fact, a lot happens there. You know, churches would be shut down and Christians can't meet for Easter. So they pray outside and the Muslim mobs come and throw rotten eggs on them, bags full of urine and cow dung, jeer at them. This is the most moderate Muslim nation. So if that's happening there, can you imagine what's happening in the so-called radical nations?
It makes me sick as a father. I've got two girls, young girls, 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. And it makes me sick when I see these stories of these women who are persecuted, specifically the women, who are so violated so many times in these places. I get so frustrated by these women being raped, child brides, the sex trafficking that goes on, and it's all just commonplace almost. Mm-hmm. It turns my stomach.
As it should. And, you know, the thing is, you have to understand, women in general are in class citizens in Islam, which means if you're a Muslim woman, you've got the short end of the stick already. So now imagine if you're an infidel woman. Well, that's the lowest of the low, because a non-Muslim infidel is already by nature an enemy that needs to be subjugated. And by being a woman, well, you're even at the bottom of the totem pole. Not to mention, as a woman, well, you're an easier target. You can't fight back, and you're more of an attractive target. And so, actually, women are the most who suffer at the hands of Islam, especially non-Muslim women.
Right.
The report I was telling you about, it said, and I quote, that the most significant findings were that Christian women are among the most violated in the world. In maybe a way that we haven't seen before, and 6 women are raped every day for being Christian, mostly by Muslims. They say nothing of just, you know, abduction, forced conversion, and all that. So in Pakistan, something like 700 Christian girls annually are abducted and forced into Islam and married someone.
It goes back to the idea, that Sharia idea, Raymond, that women aren't as valuable as men. That women aren't as worth as much. 2 women to 1 man, you know, and I mean that in a court kind of system, you know, a word of recognition and authority there. And so it goes back to the idea that if you're a woman, you're a subclass citizen.
Well, you know, in the Quran, you're probably familiar with the verses that say, a man can have 4 wives and I'm giving a literal translation of the Arabic, and what his right hand possesses, which means basically infidel slave women, concubines, et cetera, which is why, you know, as ISIS buys and sells Yazidis and Christians. Now, what's interesting to me, the subhuman concept, and people miss this because, well, they don't know Arabic, but in the Arabic, the pronoun used to describe these women is an it. It's not she or he. In other words, it literally says that thing which your right hand possesses, not that person. Yeah, and so that, again, further highlights how to be an infidel woman is basically just subhuman chattel.
Wow. Raymond, I wish we had more time. I know you got to go. We're going to have you back. I've thoroughly enjoyed this.
Absolutely. Happy to do it.
Once again, tell everyone about your books. I want them to go pick them up.
Sure. About this topic, you can get Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians, find the easiest way just on Amazon. And the newest book, it's still a couple months to come out, but you can order it on Amazon right now, Sword and Scimitar, This is a history book, but I think it's very interesting, and it's going to show you how everything that's happening today, everything we discussed about from ISIS, Christian persecution, is just a mirror reflection of 14 centuries of jihad on Western civilization.
Very good. Raymond, God bless you. Thanks for the work you're doing. We'll chat again, my friend.
You too. Thanks very much, Steve.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break here on the Triple S. We come back, we'll keep the conversation going. About 30 minutes left in the show, so if you want to call, now's the time to do it at 651-289-4499.